Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18. We'll read verses 23 through 31. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 23 through 31. Matthew 18, verses 23 through 31. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And let's finish on verse 31 together. Ready? So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us in this place. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you that you move still here in this place amongst your people. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May he have the freedom of the Spirit to speak to our hearts and change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is this: Let Your Decisions Mature. Let Your Decisions Mature. Life is a series of decisions. That's all you do all day long, every day, is make decisions. This thing of making decisions is far more important than what I think we realize. Life is good for people who make good decisions. Life is average for people who make average decisions. Life is poor for people who make poor decisions. Life is spiritual for people who make spiritual decisions. Life is fleshly and carnal for the people who make fleshly decisions. It's not very difficult. Learning to make right decisions, there is some work to it, but if you will examine life properly, you're going to find life is all about decisions. What are how many decisions you've made already today without even thinking about it? And that is part of our problem, without even thinking about it. We just want to float through life and do what feels good. Oh, but what a dangerous, dangerous thing to do, because every decision we make is guiding our lives. And for those that are leaders, moms, dads, leaders within the church, every decision you make is leading someone else. Decisions, decisions, decisions. I sat in my office as a pastor all day long, decision after decision after decision after decision. So important that we make the right kind of decisions. I'm going to read to you a passage of Scripture. You'll not have to turn to it, but let me read it to you. It's from James. James chapter 1, starting with verse number 1, it says this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, or nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Would you notice here, the Bible uses the word patience twice. In verse 3 and 4 it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect an entire wanting nothing. Here, the Bible teaches us that patience is a perfecter. What will patience perfect? It will help to perfect our decisions. God was saying, I want your decisions to be good, and I want you to be patient, because patience will perfect your decisions, and they can be entire, that means complete, and you'll lack nothing if you'll just be patient in decision making. Earlier, you read, with Brother Bush's help, a story from Matthew chapter 18. Let me remind you of that story. A servant owed the king 10,000 talents. Now, if it were one talent of gold, a talent of gold would have been equivalent to the value of $30,000. One talent. That means this. If the debt was for 10,000 talents, you multiply that times $30,000 per talent, that means there's a possibility that this was a $300 or $300 million debt. Now, he came before the king, and this servant said, King, forgive me. And through a process, this servant was forgiven by the king of this debt. Now, I want you to understand something. This man, he's just been forgiven of a $300 million debt by a very gracious king. Then, this man, the servant, just been forgiven, he's on his way home, and he realizes he has a friend that owes him 100 pence. 100 pence. A pence would have been equivalent to about 17 cents. Which means you take 100 pence times 17 cents, and that means this debt was equivalent to $17. Now, he realizes he has a friend that owes him $17. Oh, but remember, this very man had just been forgiven of a debt possibly equivalent to $300 million. But a friend owes him 17 measly bucks, and he decides that that friend has to pay up. He won't forgive him, and he has that man that owed him the money cast into prison. Well, I'll tell you something. That servant that would not forgive, I think he made a decision that went down in history as a pretty bad decision, don't you? Here we are again tonight talking about it. Here we are again. This man made a quick decision. All he would have needed to do was to go home and ponder that thing a little bit and think, let's see here, what should I do? Somebody just forgave me of a $300 million debt, and I have a friend over here. He owes me 17 bucks. Now, what would be the good thing to do? What would be the right thing to do? What would be the just thing to do? Well, I think that would be to forgive, just like I was forgiven. But what happened? He made a decision. He made a hasty decision, a quick decision. He made a decision by emotion rather than by principle. Now, I would have thought that the fella would have made a good decision, but he did not. Hey, listen, the difference between the king who forgave and the king, or the servant, the difference between the king who forgave and the servant that did not, it wasn't a debt. They were both owed a debt. It wasn't a kind of debt, although the amount of the debt was different, but the kind of debt was a money debt. And it was not a desire for punishment, because if we studied the whole story, you'd find out that both felt like the person owing them should be disciplined or corrected because of the debt. But the difference was this. I believe that that king took the time to let his decision about forgiveness mature. Then he made a decision. He acted upon that mature decision, and he looks like a very gracious and a kind man. The other man, he didn't let his decision mature. He therefore made a hasty decision. He went down in history as a hasty person and a mean person, and that didn't have to happen. Now, I say to you, one man made a mature decision. Another man made an immature decision. One man took the time to let his decision mature, and the other did not. Tonight, I talk to you about decision making, but there's an element that is so necessary if you want to make the right kind of decisions, and it is patience. Patience. Oh, do we need patience? First Timothy chapter 3, verse number 3 says, not given to wine, not striker, not greedy, filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. We're supposed to be patient. First Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Here, the Bible is telling us that me, as a man of God, I've got to learn patience. And I want to thank all of you for attributing to my education. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is talking to deacons and leaders. The Bible says they're to be patient. They're to be patient. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. Anybody that wants to serve the Lord needs to learn to be patient. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10, the Bible says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Here it is being said by Paul to Timothy and to the people in Timothy's day. Paul was able to say, you know I'm a patient man. In other words, Paul was saying that all of us ought to strive to have a testimony to where others would look and say, that's a patient man. That's a patient woman. Titus chapter 2, verse number 2, it says, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Remember, James chapter 1 says in verse number 4 that patience helps to perfect us, making us entire, wanting nothing. Patience is a perfecter. You say, what does it mean by perfect there? It means it completes something. It gives it full age. You've got to learn to let your decisions mature before you act upon them. Why? If you want a good life, you're going to have to make good decisions. If you want a poor life, then make poor decisions. But I'm telling you, good decisions are often made with this unique and special element called patience. Patience. Let your decisions mature. I watch so many people make bad decisions. They don't intend to, but they make bad decisions. Why? They do not let their decisions mature before they act upon them. Let me say to you, number one, what is it? What do I mean by mature? Give patience time to perfect your decisions. Allow your thoughts to be complete before you act upon a decision. Let your decisions be like apples. Don't pick them from the tree until they're red and ripe. An apple that's to be ripe when it's eaten, that is eaten when it is green, will give you bellyache. And everybody here needs to learn to stop picking green apples in your decision making. You snapped in that decision off the tree of your mind way too quickly. You've got to let it mature. You've got to let it season. You've got to let the Son of God nurture its growth until it's ripe and ready to be picked. Allow time to mature your thoughts before you act upon your decisions. Mature means complete. Mature means, hey, let your cup of thought be filled to the brim. Let your mind be like a cup. Let your thoughts fill it about a given decision before you drink it into action. Patience in decision making is like this. It's like when you let your motor idle in neutral, when you really want to smash the gas pedal to the floor, squeal your tires, and strip through those gears. No. Slow down. Let it idle. Think through this thing. If I could get parents to understand, it would be wise for you to think through the way you're about to discipline your child before you do so, instead of emotionally flying off the handle and doing something you might regret. I would help you. Let your decisions mature before you act upon them. That means you must stop and you must knowledgeably say what is right, what is wrong, I must do right. If I could get you to do that, I would save myself a lot of time in life. You could save yourself a lot of hassle in life. I said, what do I mean by mature? Mature. Just remember, don't pick the green apples from your mind. Give them time to nurture and to grow and be usable. Secondly, you're going to find out time itself will mature your decisions. Time will mature your decisions if you'll just give something time. Proverbs 31:25 says this, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. This is the Proverbs 31 lady. The Bible says that she is going to rejoice. When? In time to come. Hey, listen to me. Proper time given to decisions will help you to rejoice with the outcome of your decisions. In time to come, rejoicing will be available if you'll just slow down and mature a decision. Give it time to mature before you act upon it. I remember back, I want to make this statement. This was a sermon that I was going to preach last Sunday night. Y'all remember we had a storm and it knocked out all of our electricity, and I preached another sermon. I've not changed this sermon at all. This is the very sermon that I was going to preach last Sunday night, and I thought about changing a couple things in it because of events of the week, but I didn't. I decided if this is what God wants me to preach, I'm going to preach it no matter what occurred this week. But let me say this. When I was a young man, I remember I wanted to get married. I wanted to get married, and I talked to my dad. I said, Dad, I think I'm ready to get married. And my dad said to me, we talked, and Dad said, Son, I want you to wait about 6 months and come back and talk to me about that. Now, I know now what my dad was doing. Back then, I thought he was being unreasonable and torturing me. I mean, when I go to him, I say, Dad, I'm ready to get married. She's the one. And I said, what do you think? He said, Son, let's do this. He said, why don't you wait about 6 months, and then let's talk about this again. Here's what my dad was doing. My dad wanted me to wait 6 months to see if my feelings were mature, and he knew that that time would mature my feelings and mature my thought process. So you say, what'd you do? Well, I did what my dad said. I waited 6 months. Matter of fact, I waited 5 months and 29 days. I was fighting it to bits. I called my dad, and I was him hauling around one day before the 6 month period. I said, hey, Dad, how you doing? He said, yeah, fine. I said, having a good day? He said, having a good day. He said, son, did you call for a reason? I said, well, Dad, tomorrow is 6 months. He said, would you like to talk tonight? I said, I'm dying to talk about it. And we talked. And we got married. And time proved our maturity. There was a young man and a young lady. I was up in Indiana, and I work with a lot of young married couples up there. And there was a young man and a young lady. I think I've told this story here before. And he was old. They were in their mid-20s, and a little immature, but in their mid-20s. And I had, neither one was married, and I thought, well, maybe I'd introduce him to her and her to him. His name was Ray. Her name was Lisa. And I one day said, Ray, I want you to meet Lisa. Lisa, I want you to meet Ray. And I thought it might be a good idea for you guys maybe to have a little date set in church here together and get to know each other. And I had no idea. They had known each other 3 weeks. They got in my line, in counseling line, just like we have one here. They walked in and said, we want to get married. They known each other 21 days. We want to get married. I said, when? They said, oh, next month will be fine. My head was spinning. Well, it was obvious. They were immature. It was obvious. They weren't ready for that. And so I bargained with them. I said, you know what? I'd be glad to help you get married in 18 months. They said, oh, no way. I said, 12 months. Oh, we couldn't wait that long. I said, 6 months. I said, listen, 3 months, final offer. He said, I'll take it. That's really all I wanted in this one anyway. You know, when you're selling something, you start high and you work your way down. 2 months later, they broke up. I diverted a divorce before they ever got married.
Right.
Through what? I'm just patient. Just patient. Time matures things. Time has its own way of doing it. My dad used to say to me, he said, son, never make a major decision without sleeping on it. Never. We can get all wound up. We can get, our passions take over, and we make bad decisions because we get in way too big of a hurry. Well, I'll tell you something. When, you know, the housing market here was just, it was racing there for a couple of years, and you went out and they would show you a house and expect you to buy it on the spot. I remember when they tried to get me to do that. Realtor said, you want it? I said, I probably do. Well, sign the papers. I said, I can't sign papers right now. I just looked at that house. You want me to spend that kind of money right now? I just seen the house for the first time. You know, I lost a couple houses because I just couldn't do it. But I think God blessed my thinking and my thought process. And I know that the house that I have, that God wanted me to have it, and it wasn't a quick decision, just like buying a car. I'm just not the kind of person that will go out and buy a car the minute I walk on the lot. It is a big decision for me. My dad was trying to teach me as a young man, don't make major decisions without sleeping on it. Dad was saying, you need to sleep on it because time will mature your decision making. And folks, we don't give many of our important decisions in life enough time. And we make mistakes. I think this is still true, but at one time in America, there was a law that door-to-door salesmen, if they sell a customer an item, that customer has 3 days after the date of sale to return that for full price return, and there was a law like that. You say, why? Because somebody, at the spur of the moment, will be talked into spending a bunch of money, and then they get to thinking on it. And they think about it for a little while. And for long they think, I don't have the money for this. I can't afford this. I don't want this product. And so there was a law that said, because hey, the government knew how quick we'd spend our money and how unthoughtful we would be. And so there was a law that you could return it because so many people would spend without thinking. I am so glad. I can remember time and time again when I'd get frustrated. I was a machinist. I ran lathes and mills, and I worked in the tool and die shop. I can remember times when I would be so frustrated at work, just so frustrated. And I would write out my resignation, and I would think, I'm going to give this to the boss. I always had the good sense to wait until tomorrow, though. And you know something? I'd go home and have a meal and relax and take a shower, and it was okay by the next morning. I'd tear up that resignation. But I know people that, I'm going to quit my job. Probably hop all over the place. They can't keep a job anywhere because they don't let their decisions mature. Now, somebody that changes jobs, that does not mean that they did not make a mature decision. But many times, they just hop all over the place. I'm mad. Don't like this. I quit. And they walk. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Let your decisions mature before you act upon them. And time itself will help mature certain decisions. Too many of us are learning things the hard way. We make a decision, we act upon it, then after we've acted, we learn the facts that we should have known before we made it. Boy, I wonder how many times we look back and say, boy, I wish I would have thought about that a little bit more. Take time for your decisions. I have a little principle that I follow. I never send out a hot letter to someone quickly. Now, my secretary could tell you, I'm not sure, Mrs. Costa, that I've ever dictated a hot letter to anybody. But a long time ago, I decided this. If I ever send out a letter to someone, and it has that potential of being offensive or mean, that I will not send it the day I wrote it. You know why? Because somebody will sit down, and they'll write something, and they'll pop it in the mail, and after it's 3 foot down deep into the mailbox, I think, I'd like to have that back. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't think through that. I'll guarantee you, I've never sent a mean letter to anybody because I usually come to my senses and realize that's not the way to handle it. It's not the way to do it. But I could save a lot of you some grief. Hey, if you want to write it, okay. Sit down and write it. Tear into that thing. Say everything that's on your mind. Then you might want to put it under your pillow and sleep on it for a couple nights. You may come to your spiritual senses.
Right.
Because time will spiritually mature your thought process. You hear about the hard-working executive lady? She talked to St. Pete, and St. Pete said, listen, you're going to have to choose where you want to spend eternity. You can spend eternity in heaven, or you can spend eternity in hell. St. Pete said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a sample of both. I'm going to send you to one place for 24 hours and another place for 24 hours. Then you can come back and see me and make your decision. Do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? She said, great. We're going to start. We're going to send you to heaven 24 hours. So this lady went to heaven. Oh, it was peaceful. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. 24 hours. At the end of the 24-hour period, St. Pete said, all right, now you're going to hell for 24 hours. Oh, she was scared. But she entered hell, and it was not what she thought. They had a breakfast in her honor. There was a tennis club and a golf course, and they had a gourmet lunch. She met friends there, and there was a spa and body treatments and designer clothes, and they had a party. She had a jacuzzi and champagne. And I'll tell you what, before the 24-hour period was over, she went back to St. Pete and said, St. Pete, I made up my mind. He said, now, ma'am, take your time. Make your decision carefully. This is for all eternity. She said, not necessary. Give me hell. He said, fine. They opened the door to hell, slammed the door, and it was fiery, and there was torment, and weeping, and wailing, and gnashing of teeth, and it was every horror that you could ever imagine. And she said, I demand to see the management. And the devil said, what's wrong, man? She said, yesterday I was here almost all day long, and it was not like this. What's changed? And he said, but ma'am, yesterday you were a prospect. Now you're on staff. Hey, be careful. Some of you are making decisions without thinking through it. You don't see the whole picture. Some of you are making decisions and you don't realize it. It's going to affect you from today to the day you hit the grave. It's going to affect the rest of your life and your wife's life and your children's life and some of you, your unborn children's life and your grandchildren. You better slow down and think through what you're doing. I hope you're listening to me. I said to you, we need to let our decisions mature. What do we mean by mature? They've got to be thorough. You've got to have patience and gather all the thoughts necessary before you act upon those thoughts. I said to you that time will itself mature your decisions. Thirdly, I've discovered that time even makes some of my decisions for me. Time will make decisions. Sometimes someone will make my decision for me because of their time schedule. Someday someone may give you an ultimatum in life, and it may be that their ultimatum makes the decision for you. They say, do it by this time or not at all. You know something? If I can't make a decision and be sure the answer is right in someone else's time frame, I'll let their time frame disqualify me. See, I would rather lose an opportunity because of patience than lose my shirt due to the lack of patience. There are some times you just need to slow down, and when somebody tries to push you too fast, you may just have to say that, I guess the quickness in which you want me to make this decision is going to disqualify me. I'm sorry. I remember I had gone in to Dr. Jack Hiles. I was graduating from Bible college, and he and I were talking about my future. We talked for almost 6 months on a regular basis about what he felt and what I felt and what the will of God was. At the last appointment regarding that issue, he offered me a job as an assistant pastor at the world's largest Sunday school in Hammond, Indiana. Now, Mrs. Owens and I had promised one another together that before we took any job in the ministry that we would fast and pray together for 2 weeks. I stepped out of Dr. Hiles that night. He had just offered me a job, and I said, could I pray about it? I stepped out of his office. I was walking through a hallway, and another assistant pastor at the church came, and he said, he offered you a job, didn't he? I said, he did. This assistant pastor said, you should in the next couple of days get back to him and tell him what your answer is. I said, I can't do that. He said, listen to me. When you hesitate, he's going to think you don't want the job. Now you need to get to him right away and let him know if you want that job. I walked away a bit confused. But I remembered I'd promised my wife and promised my God that I would take 2 weeks to fast and pray before I made that decision. That was not 2 days. It was 2 weeks. So what'd you do? I took my 2 weeks. So was that a lot of pressure? Opportunity of a lifetime. This is what I decided. If he calls me back in and says, you've taken too much time, the job offer's off, I thought, well, then he made the decision, not me. I guess God has intervened. So what'd you do? My wife and I fasted and prayed for 2 weeks. At the end of a 2 week period, we had peace and guidance from God that we should take the job. And then for many, 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 many years thereafter, I worked on that staff. But I had decided that I would be patient with my decision and that time may make the decision for me. I remember once I was offered a free back examination. Free, if it was done at such and such time. Well, I couldn't do it at that time. So you know what? Time eliminated the opportunity. I went in to buy a car. Never forget it. I went in to buy a car, and I think I found the car I wanted, but I will not just walk in and buy. I am not the kind of person, you might be able to do it, I cannot go spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars because I've seen something one time. I just can't do that. So I went in to buy a car, and the guy said, you like it? I said, I like it. He said, you want it? I said, I think I want it. He said, today and today only, I'll sell it to you for this price. I said, I can't buy it today. I'm going to need to think on it. He said, listen to me. If you buy it today, you can only get it today at this price. I said, okay, then I guess I can't buy it. I said, I would only buy it tomorrow at that price. Because I'd have to think on it. I'm sorry. I guess the deal's off and I won't be back tomorrow with the cash in my pocket. He said, well, wait a minute. I said, no. But you told me today and today only at that price. Isn't that what you just told me? And he realized he had told the wrong man today and today only at that price. Say, did you buy it, Brother Owens? I bought it the next day. But I didn't buy it that day. Folks, you need to take control of your decision making. Quit letting life and people and things bully you around. Get God involved. Slow down a little bit and make some good decisions. Some of you will pay for some of the bad decisions that you have made for months and years to come. Slow down. Some of you worry about things that only time will decide. Learn to wait for your decisions and let them mature before you act upon it. I remember this. I was going to Bible college, and when I was in Bible college, one Sunday evening, my phone rang. I had a whole year of Bible college left. My phone rang. It was a man at the church that I had attended right before I went to Bible college. He was on the deacon board. He said this. He said, they called me Brother Jeff. I said, Brother Jeff? Preacher resigned. We had a meeting tonight. We agreed unanimously to call you as our pastor. I said, I'm not candidating. I said, I didn't know anything about it. He said, I know, but we've already voted for you. You're in. I said, but I'm not looking for a church. He said, what'd you do, Brother Owens? It would have been a dream for me at that stage in my life to pastor that particular church. The only thing is, I'd already made another decision to finish college before I took the pastorate. And I said to him, I can't take the job. It's coming to me at the wrong time. I needed to finish what I started before I went to the next level in my life. So many times we wander off to try to start something new in life when we haven't finished what we've already started. He said, Brother Owens, what in the world are we waiting for? What's all this waiting about? Let me tell you some things and why we should wait and why we should slow down. What are we waiting for? We're not just playing a game of wait and see. No, we're waiting for something. For instance, we wait to know the truth from the Word of God about our decisions. Make all your decisions on the Word of God. Not on your thinking, but on His. Sometimes we need to delay decisions long enough to get wisdom from the Word of God. The Bible says this, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. Wait for the Bible to guide you. You can have a good life if you make good decisions, and this is the good book. Let it guide your decisions. What are we waiting on? Guidance from the Word of God. What are we waiting on? Secondly, we wait to receive strength from Him to make good decisions. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We need to receive spiritual things, that strength to make good decisions. There's a lady in this room tonight. I'm very proud of her. It's been a few weeks ago, she came into my office after a service. She was wound tight. She was upset. She was frustrated. She walked in and she said this, preacher, calm me down. I'm about to make a bad decision. As one smart lady.
Yes, sir.
She needed her strength renewed. And she knew it. And she was saying, I've got to get strength. I've got to make sure I get my emotions in check before I make a terrible decision. That's smart. Why are we waiting? What will this patience produce? It'll produce guidance from the Word of God. What will this patience produce? It'll produce strength for your Christian life and your decision. Then, we need to wait so we see clearly about our decisions. Isaiah 59, verse 9 and 10, it says, therefore, is judgment far from us? Far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity for brightness. What's happening? Here, we're waiting. Waiting for what? Light. Why? Because we're not seeing well. Every week of my life, I deal with some Christian that was not seeing well and are about to make a decision and they've got their blinders on. Wait! Wait for what? Wait for God to turn the light on. Wait for what? Wait and do what the Bible says. Wait for what? Wait for strength from God. So you've got God's strength when you make your decisions. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for God's blessing on our decision. Isaiah 30:18 says, and therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait on Him. That word blessed means happy. Listen, wait to make decisions that God can bless. Blessed. Bless it. Make decisions that God can bless. Make decisions that will bless you. Why are we waiting? We're waiting for God's blessing on the decision. Why are we waiting? We're waiting for God's strength. Why are we waiting? We're waiting to see clearly. Why are we waiting? We're waiting so that we know what the Word of God says about our decision. A lot of people that race through decisions, they're racing. They don't want to know what the Word of God says. They want to do what they want to do. They want to do it their way. What are we waiting for? We wait for God's counsel on our decisions. Psalm 106, verse 13 says, they soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel. You know, God will provide counsel if you need it. If you sincerely say, God, I want to know what You want me to do, and I'm going to do what You tell me to do, counsel me, God. Oh, He will. He will. He will. What are we waiting for? And finally, and I'm finished, we're waiting for the Spirit's guidance. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How does the Spirit lead you? The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. They are always perfectly in unison. The Holy Spirit will lead you. He'll lead you through the preaching. He'll lead you through godly counsel and wisdom. He'll lead you. He'll lead you through His convicting power. So we're not just playing a game of wait and see. Why is it we are to wait on some decisions? We're to wait to know the truth from the Word of God about that decision. We're to wait to gather His strength for that decision. We're to wait until we see clearly. We're to wait so God can bless that decision. We are to wait to get God's counsel on that decision. We are to wait so that the Spirit of God gets involved and leads us into that decision. Life is a series of decisions. That's all you do all day long, every day. You decide when to wake up. You decide what to wear. You decide what to eat. Where to go. When to go. How to go. All day. Just think about it for a second. What is your life truly made of? Decision after 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 decision, and every one of them are to be made as you are surrendered to the God of the universe. Life is good for people who make good decisions. Life is average for people who make average decisions. Life is terrible for people that make terrible decisions. Life is spiritual for people that make spiritual decisions. Life is carnal and fleshly for people that make carnal and fleshly decisions. Life is wonderful if you let the wonderful God of the universe mature your decisions before you act upon them. Because patience is a perfecter. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, let me tell you about the best decision you could ever make. Trust Jesus Christ. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.